Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we worship you, Lord, this morning. We give you honor and glory, Lord. You rule. You are sovereign in power, Lord. Everything is beyond, Lord, your power. Below your hands, Lord. You have grace for us. You have given us wisdom and truth and understanding of who we are in you, Lord. You have rescued us, Lord, from darkness. You have given us, Lord, faith. But not only that, Lord, you have filled us with the power of your presence, your spirit, Lord, which leads us, Lord, continually, which speaks to us, Lord, that we are your children, strengthening us, Lord, in the moment of the trial and circumstance, the tribulation. Everything, Lord, that we live is meant to change us, to transform us, and to prepare us, Lord, for that moment when you are to appear, so that we may be like you. Lord, this morning we come before you, Lord, in adoration, in humility, Lord, in reverence. And we ask that you open our minds and hearts to your scripture. Lord, as we come before your presence, we ask that not only we worship and praise in spirit and in truth, but also we ask and pray, Lord, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us this morning. Lord, may we be sensitive and experience your truth, for that is, Lord, life. That's freedom. That's healing and transformation for our lives. In your powerful name, Jesus, direct us this time. We worship you and honor you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Melissa. I'm going to invite you to go to Revelation chapter 13. We are going in a series from the book of Revelation. We started in the beginning of January, and here we are starting chapter 13, verse 1. We're going to read 10 verses this morning, and we're entering into this idea of the beast, the Antichrist. If you were to Google that name or this title in internet, you would find millions of responses, different ideas. Everybody think in one way or another of this. Many people have preached and share, written books about this. But before we get deep into the beast, I want to talk about the final deception. I do believe that in order for the beast and the Antichrist to operate in our world, a deception has to come. And I want to speak about that deception. I want to speak what is a deception that overtakes everyone, every idea, every religion, every philosophy. This is what we see here. As we were looking in chapter 12 last week, we saw the dragon. The dragon is someone who is going to persecute the church, persecutes Israel, persecutes Christ in its time. And we see in verse 17 that as the dragon is intensely fighting against the offspring, the descendants of the woman, which is Israel, we saw this, she stands on the sand of the sea. Look at that final part in your Bibles, if you have your Bible open. But when we get to verse 1, look what it says. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea. So the dragon is standing on the sand of the sea. And out of the sea rises this beast with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like bears, and its mouth was like lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone is taken captive to captivity, he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Now look at this idea of the beast. It has the power of Satan, the throne of Satan, the authority of Satan. The whole earth marvels as they follow the beast. Everybody's going to worship it. Everybody's going to worship the beast, and they want to say, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? She is someone who speaks and utters haughty and blasphemous words against God, against the temple of God, the people of God. And it makes war on the saints and overcomes them, conquers them. Now, when you look at this and you see the first line in chapter 13, verse 1, I saw a beast rising out of the sea. What comes to mind when you think of a beast? If your husband goes in outside to the driveway of your house at night and he says, you know, I went out and there's a beast in the driveway. What do you think?
Bear.
Okay, neighbor. Okay. Let me switch sides here, okay? I'm just kidding you. What do you think?
A monster.
A monster, okay? I think of a monster. I think something bigger than a bear because it overtakes the bear, right? Yeah, the neighbor may be a beast, but we're not going to talk about that tonight, okay? This morning. What else?
A terrible lizard.
A terrible lizard, okay? What do you think when you think of a beast, kids?
Computer.
Computer, okay? Now, it's good for us to look at this because he could have wrote anything. The Lord could have said, write a man, a technological advance, it's a beast. Could have been a nation. We see a lot of signs in the Bible about the beast. But when I think of a beast, thinking through this week, I thought, it's something that overtakes everything else. If it's in the animal kingdom, it's a furious reptile maybe that has different heads and it's going to overtake the animal kingdom. If we're talking about technology, it's something that we haven't thought of before. Something that overpowers every technological advance that we have. I mean, if you think of Babylon, Babylon was the empire that overtook all the empires before it, right? Assyria. That's why it was called the beast. You think of Persia. Persia came with its millions of soldiers and overtook Babylon. And then later on, you see Alexander the Great came and overtook the known world of the time. But then it came the Roman Empire, who was different than all the empires. Powerful, majestic, yes, good and beautiful in some ways, but also terrible in the way that it treated people and other nations. What do you think when you think of a beast? I thought, what is called a beast in our time? I don't know how many of you know, but the limousine that our president uses is called a beast. How many of you know that? You knew that? Because the limousine where our president travels, and the reason is, it's a car that overtakes every other car in the world, right? It's a powerful car. But you know the train that comes from Mexico, from southern Mexico, all the way to the north of the country in Mexico, is called the beast. Because nobody stops the beast. The tons and tons of metal that are coming on those trucks. I didn't know this. In the 90s, the internet was called the beast. You knew that? How many of you heard that before? Beast, because it overtakes. Now, I thought about this and I thought, Lord, have we seen something like a beast? Because sometimes we think of animals, sometimes we think of kingdoms, sometimes we think of technological advances. But I think it's good for us to think of beasts as something that overtakes. See, 3 years ago we had the beast of COVID. My wife and I often talk about this. We call it the demon of COVID because it affected every area of society, right? Governments, school, church, families, health, right? Hospitals packed up, you know. Marriage in many ways was affected. The way we dealt with kids.
COVID affected every area of society. It overtook everything. That's a monster. That's a beast. That's something that we're not thinking. It's in the way that we're reading in Revelation. It overpowers everything that was known before. It's going to be marvelous in a way, but also disastrous. You know, I thought about this too. Last night while I was going through the message came to my mind. In a way, this is a beast. Now, it's a little tiny thing, right? Put it on your pocket. You can hide it. You can stay away from it. My wife thinks I spend too much time on it. How many, think of this for a moment. How many devices in your life you had to get rid of because of this beast in the last 10 years? Think, shoot. Tell me something that you don't, no longer use because of this phone. Tell me. Computer, camera, game player, calculator. I mean, boy, now we're thinking here, right? I mean, scanner, airline tickets, newspapers, the phone on the stand. I mean, I asked some of the kids last night in church, they don't even know what a phone is connected to the wall, right? They never saw it. I mean, if I tell them that we used to carry a Bible, they think, Bible, I have 10 right here, okay? And dictionaries and everything. This is, in a way, a beast. Because it is compiling and overpowering everything. It's taking over. I mean, when was the last time you went to the bank to deposit a check? Right? The trips to the bank. Everything is being taken and absorbed by the phone. But how many of you know that this is a very dangerous device?
Picture of your wife.
Okay. Let me turn it around, okay? this side here is dangerous. Okay, it was the neighbor first. Now it's my wife, so I'm gonna stay away from it, from that. The access to evil, to porn, in one click right here, kids. The average time yesterday of a teenager on the phone is 7 hours. 7 hours is the average time that a child spends on the phone. Consider that. What are they looking at? What are they seeing? What are they fed with? That's a beast. So now let me go forward here. Who is this beast in the book of Revelation? What does this beast look like? Is it a king? Is it music? Is it a religion? Is it a political power or entity? What is it? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it, what is it? Productivity? Happiness? Joy? What is this beast that everybody's going to marvel with? So when I thought about this beast overtaking every area of society, every political kingdom, every nation, every language, every tribe, people are going to actually abandon the phone and now go to the beast. This beast must be something powerful, right? See what I'm thinking here? If children, if teenagers are spending 7 hours on this device and it's almost impossible to take it away from them, what is it going to be that is going to attract everyone in the world to this being? Little ones, big ones, governments. What is the beast in the book of Revelation? I think sometimes we have to stop and think in those terms in order to understand what we're reading in the Bible. Because it's something that we haven't seen before. So therefore, I believe that in order for the beast to operate in the world in the way that the Bible describes it, there has to be a final deception. There's going to be a deception produced by this beast, but also taking over humanity. See, how does this beast deceive and control people? The world, religions, governments, economy, everything that we have lived in history. Is the beast political? Is it religious? Is it a technological advance or kingdom that is going to come to the world? Who is the beast allowed to make war on the saints
on the Jewish people and conquer them. I think that's what it refers when we see the saints. Because Daniel talked about the saints in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul and Peter talk about the brethren, the brothers and sisters. But then here in Revelation again, is persecuting and killing and conquering saints. And I think it's the descendants, as we saw in chapter 12, of the woman who is supernaturally protected for 1260 days in a place when the dragon is persecuting her. But everyone else besides that group is going to be overpowered and overcome by the beast. So I want to look at something first before we get deep into this beast today, and it's the evidence of delusion coming to humanity. And I think it's a diabolical movement that is going to come and bring darkness to the world. Because in order for the beast to operate, deception has to take place in the world, in the nations. And so we need to look at this evidence of delusion coming and becoming more and more prevalent on the place where we live. You may say, how do we benefit from the book of Revelation, and in particular from chapter 13 of Revelation? Look, as we see the beast operating, everybody's going to be overcome in deception. But it's not just deception, it's delusion. At this point in time, society is completely lost. And if we see that that's going to happen at some point in time in the end times, what are the signs showing today? Are signs of that final deception a reality today? I want to speak of that more, but for the events of the book of Revelation to unfold as prophesied, a strong delusion is going to take place in humanity. When you look at the book of Revelation, it describes this idea of disasters and pain, calamities, that instead of bringing people to God or bringing people to humility, is going to reveal that people is hard of heart, completely against God, completely against the will of the Lord. Initially, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, we see that a fourth of humanity, 2 billion people at the rate of society today, 2 billion people will die due to war, famine, pestilence, and the wild beasts, whether those are political entities or governments, or beasts like we have, like the cartel, you know, like wars that are operating and taking on the world today. We will see by the end of chapter 6 in Revelation that a series of earthquakes that go from 6, 7, 8, and 9, earthquakes will reveal the Lord's wrath to mankind. And mankind will know that God's wrath is coming. And they will say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us, because the great day of the Lord has come. And who could stand? Who could stand before the presence of the Lord? We saw that a third of the earth in chapter 8 and trees and all green grass was burnt up, affecting the vegetation of the world. We saw that a third of the sea will become blood. A third of the creatures on the sea is going to die. The sheep and all the mechanical instruments that are on the sea are going to be destroyed. A third of them, at least. A third of the water, rivers and springs of the waters is going to become bitter and poison people. People are going to be ill, sick from these. A third of the sun and moon and stars is going to darken, and it's going to affect the way society sees daylight at this point in time. Locusts from the bottomless pit will come as a smoke out of a shaft, and they are going to punish society, humanity, for 5 months. And men and women are going to look to die. They will desire to die at this point in time. And death will not occur or take place over this pain. Also, we saw that a third of mankind will be killed by 200 million troops that were released to harm humanity with smoke and fire and sulfur. These are the conditions in the book of Israel by the time we get to chapter 12, in the times of the tribulation. Excuse me. And what we see is a heart that lacks repentance and belief and rebellion. Look at this in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 to 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, the plagues that I just mentioned, they did not repent of the works of their hands, nor gave up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. They didn't repent. There is, at this point in time, a deception that has taken over the heart, the minds of people. People is not looking to come before the presence of God and humbling themselves. They are angry at God. They will not repent. They will actually blaspheme before the God of heaven at this point in time. Now, this beast that is coming, the beast that is coming after this deception, is going to be a darkness caused by humanity's rejection of God. And it will allow the beast to take control of the world. Daniel saw it in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament in chapter 7. Let's look together in verse 19 through 26. Daniel saw that on the shore of the sea, beasts were fighting against one another, four of them. And then he says, I saw the last beast, and I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast. And look what he says, which was different from all the rest. Exceedingly terrifying. That's a beast. Something that overpowers, overcomes. With its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped what was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which 3 of them fell. So there will be kings, there will be this fight for power, and the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things. In the book of Daniel, in other chapters, he says that the Antichrist, the beast, is going to speak with flattery to everyone, to every king of the earth. Now, right here it says that he spoke great things, something marvelous, and that seemed greater than its companions. He's a powerful person, a powerful entity or king. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. It overcame them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Now the Bible says there were four beasts. Babylon, we look at this, Persia, the Greeks, but then the Roman Empire, that's the final beast that is in some ways going to resurrect, to get up, and to control until God establishes his kingdom. This is the empire. This is the kingdom that is going to be ruling according to the Bible. Now, he asked, what is this? And he told me, the four beasts, there shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth which shall be different from all the kingdoms. Different. Something that was not seen before. On earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it into pieces. See why it is a beast? It devours. It overtakes. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones and shall put down 3 kings. And he shall speak words against the Most High. Blasphemous words as we saw in Revelation. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change the times. Look at the power and authority. And the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a year, years, and a half a time. 3.5 years, which is the 42 months that we saw in Revelation 13. And it is the 1260 days that we saw in Revelation 12. Now look at this. The court shall sit in judgment, but the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. It is Christ's kingdom that comes right after this kingdom, the kingdom of the beast. So in the middle of the great tribulation, this Antichrist is going to demand worship from the Israelites. The Israelites are going to flee away, and actually through this they are going to encounter Jesus, the real Messiah. The devil, the dragon, is going to persecute the woman, which is Israel, and throw water at her, and then the earth is going to open, rescuing the Israelites and protecting them somehow, guarding them from the beast and the dragon. But then everyone else is going to fall in the trap, in the final deception, the delusion that is going to take place during this time. Who is this beast? In the Bible, there are about 25, maybe 30 names that describe this beast. Some of them are the son of destruction, the lawless one, the Antichrist, the prince who is to come. Different than all of them. The desolator, the contemptible person, the angel of the bottomless pit that comes out and destroys the two witnesses, the king who rebels against the God of gods. It's a man who speaks with flattery, with love. Everybody is going to be seduced by the words of this being. Now, look at the thing that we saw in Revelation 13:1, the verse. I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. It's rising. All of a sudden, it comes before the eye of everyone on the face of the earth. It's a popular figure that claims to be God. Seeks worship from the earth. It's a political entity. Comes from the bottomless pit, as we saw. It's empowered directly by Satan. And yet the beast, this is the most challenging thing. The beast operates within the sovereign will of God. God is going to allow the beast to rule for 3.5 years. Look at some of the things that we see in this chapter. It has blasphemous names. Revelation 13:1b, there were blasphemous names on its heads. So all these heads, these empires that have risen, 7 of them, in some way, they wanted it to be God. They wanted it to control the world, religion, and every area of worship over the face of the earth. Now also, the beast speaks haughty and blasphemous words. We saw that Revelation 13:5, the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. Speaks like if it was God. Now, you would think people know this is not God. Why is the beast doing this? There is a deception. The beast recovers from a mortal wound. Is this a supernatural event? Look at Revelation 13:3-4. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound. Something happened, but its mortal wound was healed. Healing is a supernatural work. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? Who's got the amount of power that she has? So this beast, it recovers from a mortal wound. Now also, the beast comes from the bottomless pit. Revelation 11:7, which we saw a few weeks ago, when the two witnesses have finished their testimony, look at this. This is the first time we saw the reference of the beast in Revelation. The beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. So I wonder, there was a wound. The beast dies? And therefore maybe acting like a Messiah resurrects from the dead? Being healed? And then as it rises from the bottomless pit, destroys the two witnesses? And gains popularity and starts persecuting the Israelites and demanding adoration and worship. Seems to be that that's what it's telling us. Now, another thing that we see is the beast comes from the sea. It rises from the popularity of people. In Revelation 17:15b, it says that the waters that the prostitute sits on, the prostitute is a false religion, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. So everybody's going to follow this beast. Everybody's going to marvel at it. And we see that it's rising from the sea. Satan gave his power to the beast. We read this. Satan gave his power, his throne, and great authority. But look in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one, that's the beast, is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. Look at this. Satan operating through the beast with power and false signs and wonders. People is hungry for signs and wonders. People is hungry for power, for something that brings solution to their circumstances. But they don't want to go to God. We'll see this. Now the beast will rule under the authority of God for 3.5 years, the sovereign will of God. We read it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. But look at this. It was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. So many will die who do not submit to the beast or take the mark of it. And so therefore, this beast is going to kill them. Now, authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. Everybody's going to submit to it. No more
nations divided or different views, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And look at this. If anyone is to be taken captive by the beast, at this point in time is going to be taken to captivity. To captivity it goes. And if anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. This is the time to follow the beast or to die. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Now, you don't want to be alive in this time. Amen? Amen? You don't want to be here without provision and protection of God. I look at this, and this is the middle of the Great Tribulation. I believe the church is gone at this point in time. I believe the rapture has taken place. But you know, when I look at this deception, the evidence of a delusion in the world, in humanity, we need to understand we're living in those days today. Let me say something. When a man doesn't know that he is a man, isn't that deception? Right? When a woman says, I'm not a woman, I'm a man, isn't that deception? When the government wants to control your kids and change the gender and sexuality of your kids because they know more than the adults, that is deception, right? I mean, if I stand here and I said, I'm a guy from Africa and my skin is black, you may say, well, you're a little dark, but you're not black, brother, right? Right? You will say, and if I say I'm 65 years old, you may say, well, you look a little old, but you're not that old. But if I say, no, that's the way I feel, and you have to enforce, you have to believe what I say, that's deception right there, isn't it? And we live in that time, a time of delusion, a time of deception. So I'm not going to go more into this beast right now for a while. I want to speak about how is it possible for the whole world to be in deception, to fall in deception. And I think what we see is in the world today, politically, governmentally, the education that people have, religion, the ideas of society, yes, the phone, everything that is going on, I think we can see that we're heading into that time of deception. And that delusion in humanity occurs because of the rebellion of humanity against God. When man rebels against God, the Lord lets them be deceived. Would you agree with me that that's what the Bible says? But not only man has rebelled against God, man has gone as far as suppressing the truth of God. And so I think when those two things happen, when rebellion is prevalent and suppression of the truth is an idea and philosophy of humanity, God gives society over to delusion. And when God gives society over to delusion, that's when the enemy takes over. You can see it throughout history. You see it in the people of Israel. You see it when the people of Israel came to Samuel and said, Samuel, it's fine that you're kind of the prophet and you're leading us and this is all good, but we want to be like the rest of the nations. We want to have, what were they asking for?
A king.
And Samuel says, the king is going to take your children and your girls and your lands and your money. And they say, no, we will have a king. And Samuel goes to God. And God says, don't be offended. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. That's God saying. So give them what they want. Give them a king. And God gave them Saul. So the problem is this rebellion that is going on against God. Throughout history, from Adam and Eve to our day, humanity has rebelled against God and his precepts, his commandments, the truth of God. In Genesis 6, we see that every intention of the thoughts of man was only evil, continually. Rebellion is to know that this is the message and the commandment of God and say, I know this is what God is asking of me, but I'm going to go this way because God understands how I feel. The road is narrow, but my circumstances and my needs are different. So I'm going to go through the wide road and I'm going to just ignore God. That's rebellion right there. Knowing the truth and doing your own thing. In Psalms 14:1, it says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Everybody is following their own way and their own direction. But today, that's history. Today, the world rejects God. The Israelites throughout history were no different. They rejected God and they opposed Jesus. Today, we live in a society that opposes Jesus because Jesus is the truth. You know, somebody sent me an article this morning of how church is not any longer relevant to Americans. People is looking for secular Sabbaths, secular ways of finding peace and joy. Church is irrelevant. People is going away from the truth. Look at this in John 3:19 through 20. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Why the rebellion? Because of the evil works. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. This is the light. This is Christ coming to expose our needs and our sins, but also to give us salvation. You know, there is this movement about a new religion. In fact, somebody was interviewed recently and saying, what is the value and the new ideas that AI may come to our society and change the way we live? And that person chose to say this, for once, we finally may have a religion that is acceptable of everyone in the face of the earth. Because the religion that we have right now, the Bible, is very exclusive for some. You know, AI, this person says, is not only something that propagates ideas, it's something that is going to revolutionize ideas and come up with its own ideas. And for the first time in history, we may have an entity that is going to rewrite a perfect Bible because the Bible that we have is irrelevant and old. Is there a push against the truth of God? Because the truth of God exposes sin. And when our sin is exposed, we have two choices. We submit to the Lord and repent, or we go on rebellion. But when we go on rebellion, we become part of this final deception. The final deception is being revealed in some ways. Look at this. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, God brings this through Jeremiah. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people, the people of Israel, have committed two evils. This is the problem with humanity. One of them is this. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Everything that is and opposes God holds no water. It's a deception, it's a lie, it's sin, it's evil. But this is what humanity is choosing. Now, when we think of this rebellion, it has existed, but when Jesus was asked about the signs of the end times, he speaks of this rebellion going into another level. Look at this. Due to the rebellion and the things that were going on, Jesus is sharing about Jerusalem. And in Matthew 24, verse 3 to 5, it says that as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, the things of the end times? When is the moment when they are going to occur? And what will be the sign of your coming? We want to have a clear, exact sign that tells us this is the end time and the end of the age, the end of society, of the world as we know it. So Jesus goes on to give many signs. Yes, wars, earthquakes, rumors of wars, you know, the love of many is going to grow cold, people is going to be divided against one another, there are going to be all kinds of ideas floating around, persecution against Christianity. But very often we miss the beginning of these warnings. And the first one is this, See that no one leads you astray. You know that lead astray word means one thing, deception. See to it, in another translation, says that no one deceives you, that no one takes you captive. It's the truth being rebelled against and a new idea flourishing in the world. Now, look at what he continues to say here. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. So the rebellion is going to grow in such a way that people is going to be deceived. It's a rebellion against the truth of God. We don't want to obey the Lord. We're going to go in our own way because the truth of God is not working anymore. So we're going to choose our own truth and we're going to go into that truth. And that's the time in which we are living here. It's clear in the Bible. When we look at deception, when we look at delusion in humanity, it's an idea that goes completely against the truth of God. It's the lie of this world. But this is going to take place in many ways, and it's going to take place even inside Christianity, the evangelical movements. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, Paul is trying to warn Timothy about this, and he says, but understand this. Now, that first phrase right there, understand this, it requires of us to have the Holy Spirit in order to discern. How many of you know that? You know that? We receive God's grace and understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. The natural man cannot accept or receive the things of God. For that person, they are foolishness. Now, even if you receive it in a spiritual way, it has to agree with this book, with the Bible. There is people who are extremely spiritual today walking away from the Bible. And there are people who are extremely dogmatic in the Bible, but they don't have the infilling, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So you go to one extreme, religiosity, religion, or you go to another extreme, New Age. A spirituality that has no truth. And so you need to understand this, Timothy. How do you understand? You understand through the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand through faith. By faith, we understand the universe was created. By faith that the Holy Spirit gives us. Now understand this, that in the last day, eschatological word comes right there. The eschatology word comes right there. That in the end times. Now let me bring this up. In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, the last days started. But when you look at this word right here, the last days, it's talking about the last sign that is going to take place before Christ returns. It's like the final point. It's the end of the end. The last days, there will come times of difficulty, challenging times. Why? For people will be lovers of self. No other culture promote self as this culture in which we live. I talk about the phone. I mean, one of the most popular things on the phone is selfies. The promotion of self, isn't it? Not only that, the search for pleasure right here. And look at this. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But this is the problem. These people will have an appearance of godliness. Religiously, they look good, but they deny the power of God in their lives. And so we need to pay attention. What is the understanding for us in order to avoid this trend of deception that is going on? First of all, we see the first step, rebellion against the truth of God. We need to be aware of this because the rebellion of humanity is going to lead them away, astray, to believe ideas and things and religions and movements and philosophies that bring lawlessness and sin and call evil good and good evil. But not only this rebellion is going to be prevalent in that sense, it's going to demand that the truth of God be suppressed. And we're going to look at the second thing here. Because from rebellion, I think historically what we see in any culture that falls apart, or church that falls apart, is not only rebellion to God, but changing the truth of God for lies, suppressing the truth of God. And so we need to be aware of this. Christ is warning. We see it in the book of Revelation. Everybody's going to be seduced to worship something that is not. How did people end it in that place? Deception must have taken over before the beast rise from the sea. And that deception, we see the signs of it today. We see them in America. We see them in the whole world. We see them inside the church. It's a rebellion against the truth of God, but it's also a suppression of the truth. Humanity has not only rejected God, but this is the next level. They battle to suppress the truth of God and defy the glory of God. I don't want to obey God. I don't want you to tell me about God. I want to change the truth. I want to change God. I want to change the way God is promoted and preached and proclaim from now on. I want to live in a different world. And as Christians, we need to be aware of these things. You know, these are some things that really, they warn us. And they should challenge us. About 3 or 4 months ago, I don't know how many of you know this, but the first sermon was preached by AI in Germany to a congregation of more than 300 attendees. How many of you heard or read that on the news? Now, you know, not a big deal. You know, somebody wants to see this new. It was kind of cool, you know, a screen, you know, a bearded man, you know, then it changed to a girl. The voice was cool, you know. No accent problems also in the preaching, okay? No confusion on where is he going, you know. I mean, perfect explanation of the sermon. 3 points, great illustrations, great verses, you know. It was biblical. And so I looked at it and I thought, wow, boy. A few weeks later, I started reading. Mostly because some of you share things with me sometimes and emails that I get. That many pastors in America are enabled or enhanced by GPSHAT-4 to write their sermons. How many of you heard that? GPSHAT-4 can write a sermon with 3 points and all the biblical verses that you want. In fact, I went to WhatsApp. And I opened WhatsApp because WhatsApp has a platform for AI. And I asked, would you tell me the benefits of forgiveness according to the Bible? It went as far as explaining to me the benefits of love. And how love in the Bible is the greatest gift of all and virtue of all with Bible verses. Now, for a society that is looking for results, quick, I don't want to go through the process. I don't want to spend time in the Bible. I don't want to study. I don't want to ask God to lead me. I want results. I want the burger right as I ask it on the window, right? When I go to McDonald's. If it takes 2 minutes, I'm desperate, right? Why are they taking too long? That's the culture in which we live. It's a culture that is pushing for new ideas and new changes. Now, I look at that and I thought, I'm glad it's only free for the first 4 shots because I don't want to ever use this thing again. But you know, somebody sent me an article. Fox News wrote this. Not only through AI shot, you can communicate to Jesus, but you are able to communicate to Satan himself. And you can choose between Jesus and Peter or Paul or Matthew, maybe King David, men of all who have answers for you through the internet. And many of those answers are answers that are not in the Bible and that preachers will not choose to give you. Are you following me here? See where we're going? Now, you may look at this thing, and what this is doing is suppressing the truth of God. In other words, what it is doing is giving me some results without having the relationship with God. Christianity is not ideas. Christianity is not responses. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the moment I don't want God, I want the king, I want the blessings of God, I want the prosperity of God, but God, I don't want you in the picture, that's the moment when I am suppressing the truth.
And so that's where our society is going. Humanity is suppressing the truth. Now look what happens when humanity suppresses the truth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness," that's rebellion, "and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness," so first of all, they are ungodly and unrighteous, but then this ungodliness and unrighteousness leads them to suppress the truth. Can you see the correlation? It's unrighteousness, it's ungodliness, but that ungodliness and unrighteousness leads me to suppress the truth because I don't like God to be telling me what I'm doing wrong. I'm going to put up with it for a while, but in the moment when the preaching and the teaching and the correction and the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, I'm going to suppress the truth, to come up with ideas to stop it. Now, this idea, suppressing the truth, you know, it comes throughout the Bible in many different places. It means a point when two walls hit one another and an impasse takes place. And so therefore, the truth that was coming is not going to flow. The message of God is not going to arrive, but I'm going to shut it off, shut it down. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke and in the Gospel of Mark, this word is used, suppressed. When Christ went to the Gadarenes, and it says that there were these demon-possessed men who dwell on the tombs, and nobody was able to pass through that area because they dwell in there. It's a suppression of the flow of traffic in that area. Jesus healed the Gadarene. And the people came and saw the miracle. And remember what the people said? The word is used again. The people said, "Jesus, get out of our region. We don't want to see you here." They got scared of the miracle of Jesus to those Gadarenes. And so they asked him to leave the region. It's a suppression of God. "We don't want you around here. Yes, you do miracles. You're good. But we don't want you around here. Now look at the rest of the verses. When we suppress the truth in verse 19, "What can be known about God is plain to man, to people, to everyone. God has shown it to them." Yes, through general revelation, but also through spiritual and special revelation through the Spirit of God, through the Bible, through the conscience of man. Now look at this. It's clear and it's been shown, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." So they are without excuse. Man knows about God. They have rebelled against him, but now man is suppressing God. Taking God out of the school, taking God out of the government, society, the media. You know what society wants? Keep your church between your four walls. Don't tell us anything about God. That's suppression of the truth. But when that happens, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their own thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. It's a level of darkness. It's deception. It's delusion that overtakes the heart and the mind of people. And look at this. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for the immortal, for the images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. So when you rebel and suppress God, now you are given over to something. Three times in that chapter, you can go on and look at it. Three times in that chapter, God gave them over. God gave them over to Saul in the times of Samuel. God gave them over to Babylon in the time of the prophets, and to Persia, and to the Greeks, and to the Romans. God gave them over to what they wanted. And what we see in Revelation chapter 13, God is giving them over. But this time, God is giving them over to the beast, to the Antichrist. Humanity continually pushes to negate and destroy the principles of God. This that I'm sharing here is not just an inference, something that I deducted from the Bible. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at this. In verse 3, "Let no one deceive you in any way," it says, "for that day, the day of Jesus Christ returning, will not come unless the rebellion comes first." We're talking about the rebellion. "And the man of lawlessness is revealed," the Antichrist, "the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship. This Antichrist is going to fight against anything that calls itself God or the truth himself, or the truth itself. And he is going to sit in the temple of God proclaiming himself to be God. I wonder, is this I? Is this self-centeredness? Is this an entity again? I asked the same questions that I asked in the beginning. And you know what is, look at the next verse, verse 5. Now, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him. So the only reason this Antichrist or lawless one is not doing it is because he's being restrained now so that he may be revealed at his time. God has a time for it. For the mystery, and it's a mystery of lawlessness, evil, and rebellion, and the suppression of truth, is already at work. Only he who restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the church? I think it's just the sovereign will of God that is restraining the evil one from coming into power. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Now, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan. The same thing we studied in Revelation chapter 13. With all power and with false signs and wonders. So it's going to be supernatural. Now, with all wicked deception. So there was a rebellion. Then the restraining is moved away. Now the lawless one rises and he's coming with power of Satan and supernatural works, and then with the wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So when the rebellion and the suppression of the truth makes people reject God, they are given to deception according to this passage right there. So they refuse to love the truth of God to be saved. And that's what people is doing today. So we saw the reality of delusion taking over in the world. We see that it is because of the rebellion against God. And we see because of the suppression of the truth. But then let's look here at the end. How delusion from God is given to men. As we read it in chapter 13 of Revelation. As humanity rejects the love of the truth of God, and rebellion and lawlessness become normal, the suppression of the truth is the rejection of God himself. I don't want you here, Lord. We don't want you in our land. We don't want you in our world. We don't want you in our school. We don't want you in our church. We want something different. Therefore, God will abandon the world and give it over to a strong delusion. Look at the rest of the verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As a result of those conditions, therefore, God, and that's what we saw. The beast exercised authority for 42 months. So God sends them a strong delusion. This is the beast. This is the dragon. This is the final deception that God is going to send. But God, why? So that they may believe what is false. Now, we already saw it. They rejected the truth. They didn't want the truth of God to be saved. They didn't love it anymore. We don't like the commandments of the Lord. So now, God is going to give them what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what? I look through these passages in Revelation 13, the choice is given to us by God. I mean, what do you want? Are you going to follow the truth? Or are you going to follow unrighteousness? I look at this and I think, what is the solution for us today? If we are 5 years away from the beast, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 50 years, we may die before that happens, the rising of the beast, and go to heaven. But how can we look at this and use this as instruction for our hearts today? I think we find the foundation. The foundation is truth. If you don't accept and submit to the truth of God, God is going to give you over to deception, to delusion, to the false, to believe what is false. So I think of it, and I think in these terms as Americans, you know, as people of this society, how can we live a life that assures we are in Christ, in the truth, and we're protected from the things that are to come? I mean, if kids are spending 7 hours in their phones, that's a daily average. What are they looking on the phones? That's the average of a teenager. What are they looking? Is that true? Is that truth or lies? How can we assure ourselves from walking in the truth? And I think for us, it's very simple. I think of America, and I think of the church historically. The church has known the way and has had the way by the grace of God. Amen? This idea of modernity and finding new things and a religion that accepts everyone and a religion that makes you feel good and don't tell you the truth, that's a wrong idea. In Jeremiah chapter 6, the Bible says, as Jeremiah is speaking to the people of Israel, it says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Why are you a Christian? Why are you here in church today? Do you have a tradition? Or have you had the commandments of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, given and passed to you by your parents and grandparents in some way? Is that the truth of God? Look at the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. Look at the way of God given to the prophets, given in the Bible, given to the apostles, given for 2,000 years to the church. The church has overcome and prevailed only for one reason, because Christ is with the church. Amen? We don't need a new church. We need the truth. We don't need a new idea. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we need to go back. And also, we need to experience the truth in such a way that we are free. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the saddest thing on Sunday morning. People walk into church and sitting on the pews, and they walk away from church in the same way that they arrived. We hear the truth, but the enemy snatches it away. And you walk away listening to the truth, but not experiencing the truth in your life. What am I talking about? Look at this. The truth will set you free. Are you offended this morning? Are you resented? Have you forgiven your brother and your sister? Are you free from addictions? Are you hopeful of the circumstances that you're facing? When you walk away from this place, are you convicted of your anger and temper? And then you change the way you speak back to your kids, the family, your friends, your employees? Is that a reality in your life? Healing. Healing. The truth heals. It changes and transforms the heart. If you're here and your heart is hardened and everything you see is just people with problems, and everything you do is criticized and attacked, and everything you do is questioned what is being proclaimed from Jesus Christ. And if you are in the worship and instead of entering in His presence, you are wounded and afraid and stressed and depressed. And if you go back from this place and the truth of God is not having an effect on the way you live your life during the week, that's not freedom. That's not freedom. The truth will set us free. And finally, the Spirit of truth is the one who brings that freedom through the Word of God and through songs and worship and prayer. But look at this in John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Don't get worried about the beast. Who is the beast? How is the beast coming? Is it this president or the last president or the Pope? Everyone is being accused of being the beast. But when we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, He guides us into the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. He will speak that which is of Christ. Whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. See, We have the Bible, the truth. We have 2,000 years of history that show us and teach us the success of the church. During difficult times, the church struggled. But it is in the church where God moves and changes and transforms the hearts. When we look at the Word of God produces healing in us. And the Holy Spirit directs us ahead. So I'm going to pray this morning. I don't know if you're a Christian or not. You don't have to live in deception, you know. You don't have to be overcome by evil, by delusion. You don't. You don't have to be in an addiction. And you don't have to say, you know, I don't want to hear any of this because it's making me feel uncomfortable. You actually embrace the truth of God when you surrender. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we ask that your will be done in this place, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need revival in America, yes. We need revival in the church, yes, absolutely. Lord, we need revival in our lives. We need a change of heart. We need, Lord, to look at the truth and embrace the truth. We need to leave this place hungry and thirsty for righteousness, Lord. We need to understand, Lord, that there is a rebellious attitude and heart in us, Lord, at times, and that we fight against your commandments, Lord. And we need to leave this place, Lord, asking for a supernatural move of your Spirit that brings us to conviction, but also that leads us to freedom. To encounter the grace that we need to live newness of life, as your word says, Lord. Father, we don't want to live in deception. The world in which we live, Lord, is going from bad to worse, Lord. Everything that we see around us, in many ways, Lord, looks deceptive. In the media, the governments, Lord, finances, Lord, everything that people celebrate is not true anymore. Falsehood, Lord, has taken over in many ways. The eradication of history and Christianity, Lord, and values and morals and ethical convictions that we've had, Lord, this foundation is being shaken. But when the foundation is being shaken, Lord, the righteous goes to you. To you. Change us. Give us a new heart. A heart that pursues you continually, Lord. Your truth and your Spirit. In your mighty name, Jesus. Guard our children, our families, Lord, from the evil one. Protect us, Lord, from those things that are not from you, Lord. And may we always surrender and submit to your commandments in your mighty name. Lord, give us freedom today through the power of your Spirit, Lord, in such a way that we know that you are with us, Lord. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Let's stand up and just worship God with this last song as we finish here.